Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Friday, January 17th, 2025, and this is a 10 a.m. Big Book study of Overeaters Anonymous. OA preamble. Oh, I'm sorry. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at page 72, that second paragraph, beginning with the eighth sentence. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep themselves, reading through the end of that paragraph on the top of page 73, ending with, until they told someone else all their life story. And today's readers are the 12 Steps of OA, Terry G., the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., reader of the text, Julie E. B., reader of page 164, Robin P., our backup reader is Teresa M. Our newcomer greeter is Judith R. And the announcements will be done by Janice P.M. The reference number is Thursday, January 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22087-22087. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, January 17th, at 7 a.m., the share ID is 22089-22089. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Laura, and welcome everyone. This is Terry G. from Pensacola, Florida. I am a food addict, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of being service, and with that, I pass.
Thanks, Terry G. Thank you so much. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you for your service. Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 Traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. I appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recoveries described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we are sharing, what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume the study of the Big Book, and we are on page 72, the second paragraph, beginning with the 8th sentence, time after time, newcomers have tried to keep reading through that entire paragraph, ending with, until they told someone else all their life story. And I will now ask our reader, Julie E.B., to begin reading and sharing for 3 minutes. Julie, good morning.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough about humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. As I said, I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, and I'm just so privileged to read this paragraph. It's really amazing because by holding on to certain things, the first thing one can do if one's in the food, this is kind of oftentimes a lot of people start the program this time of year. It's not the easiest passage to start on this stuff about inventory and what if they don't tell everything and first thing that happens with food is people think, oh, I want to hold on to this. I want to hold on to that for some people like me. I also, wanted to hold on to the ability to decide what things other people needed to know and didn't need to know. And on top of that, part of the humbling experience is that I don't even know what I don't know. Thankfully, I developed a trusting relationship with my sponsor. My sponsor that brought me through these steps. The first time in particular was so gentle with me. And, you know, that's not everyone's style or what everyone needs, but they could see things that I didn't see. And so when I'm in the mode of I can tell people some things and not others, that is egoism and fear. I'm running the show and I'm scared about what they other people think. But when I let go, I find myself having this amazing experience of showing my life story to someone else and having them greet it with kindness, compassion, and acceptance. And this moves me out of my shame into something called guilt, which is actually helpful in terms of what can I write and what can't I write. So this is a miracle of healing and learning that I would swing from control to compliance, from trying to do everything to trying to do whatever anyone else said. Learning that truth about myself has made it possible for me to continue to put everything that happens through this same lens. The humbling experience is not humiliation. The humbling experience is learning the truth about myself. Sometimes I know it. Sometimes it's hiding even from me. But I don't even have to diagnose myself using this paragraph. Oh, I picked up food because I didn't do this right or this right. I pick up food because I'm a compulsive overeater. The reason, the step that I take is an action. I reach out and say, I need help. Seems humbling at first, but it's amazing when God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie E.B. from Colorado, for getting us started. If you just jumped on the line, before I take names, I'm going to remind everybody where we are. We're on page 72, that second paragraph at the bottom, beginning with the eighth sentence. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep themselves through eight sentences, ending on the top of page 73 with until they told someone else all their life story. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on any Vision for You meeting Wednesday or Thursday of this week, please hold back and let others share. What I need from you is your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. And I'll take a list of names now. Who would like to share?
Hi, this is Charles H.
Sherry H.M.
Tina J. Where are you from?
I'm
Sherry, where are you from? Washington. Okay, great. And I got Tina.
Dina J. from California.
Dina J. Okay, Dina J. I've got Charles H., Sherry H., is it HB? And Dina J. Yes. Who else would like to share? All right, let's start with those three. Let's not waste any time. Charles H. from New York, you're up.
Thank you very much, moderator. My name is Charles H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Manhattan Beach, Los Angeles. And, yeah, I love the readings. Anytime I try to hold anything to myself, they say we're only as sick as our secrets, right? Real sick. I could keep it tall and say I was binging at Virginia Beach in 2015. I could keep it tall with you because guess what? If I don't tell you what's going on with me, good or bad, I'm in trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. And, self-examination is quite important. But what's more important is when I examine myself and tell myself to God and another human being, the exact natures of my wrongs. The big book don't care how recovered I think I am or how great I think I am. The big book is concerned with my character defects and shortcomings. You know, I heard something like if my character defects is having a car, my shortcomings is driving on flat tires. So, you know what? I'm not driving on flat tires because I'm not going nowhere in a car with flat tires. So I'm not going to tell everybody everything, but I'm going to tell some people something, because you can't trust everybody. And I'm going to close you this. Two things I'm not doing in 2025. I'm not going above and beyond, and I'm not going back and forth. I don't like you enough to hate you. Everybody equal. Peace.
Hello, are you there, moderator?
I'm here. Sorry, the phone, the star one wasn't working for me. Thank you, Charles H. from New York. Thanks for sharing. Up next is Sherry H.B. from Washington. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. This is Sherry H.M., and it's Sherry with a C from Washington State. I'm so grateful to be here. Wow, this program has changed my life. I'm so grateful to God for putting it in my life. I know that there's a lot of people that drop out at step four and, you know, step five, but I can't do that. I have to share, you know, everything. And otherwise, I'm not really taking an inventory. So this part here, I just love it. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty. And it tells you in this paragraph that, you know, you will go back and get drunk or eat compulsively if we don't do that. So, wow, it is a high priority. And if I don't do that, it's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater, you know, and the next thing you know, poof, there it goes with a lot of force up. And when it does that, that puts me back into the arms of my refrigerator, because it is the buildup of emotions. And I'm hanging on to the fear if I choose not to share my inventory with another safe person. So this has been so beautiful to me. You know, I didn't want to do it at first, but it was actually just, it was really beautiful. You know, she was so wonderful. She didn't fall off her chair. She didn't die, anything like that. So that's always a plus. So anyway, have a wonderful day working the steps in all your affairs. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Sherry with a C. Up next is Dina J. from California. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning. This is Dina J., compulsive eater in Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you for the reading. And, yeah, I've just been back in program for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months now, and I am going to be working through the steps again. And just reading this, it's so profound, because the book is telling you exactly what you need to do and what exactly you're going to actually try to do. So you've got to take this inventory to have the freedom, but when you do it, you're going to want to hold on to some of the things that you don't want other people to know or that you don't think they should. And so it's warning you that if you are not fully able to be honest, you're going to eat again. You're going to get drunk again. And I know for me, that is, I don't want that. I do not want that. So, you know, the part where it talks about the only thought they had lost their egoism and fear, they only thought they had humbled themselves. It's unbelievable, the self-deception, that when you're in the food and when you're prior to working the steps that you can actually live in, and to actually think that you have made more progress than you actually have. Like you can think that you've are healed, you can think you're in recovery, but you're not.
And so I am looking forward. I've done this a few times, and I'm looking forward to facing and being rid of every fear or self-delusion that's there so that I can be free from the obsession of self. And, you know, it's just telling us right here, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the same sense. We find it necessary to, until they have told someone else all their life story. So it's like this profound transformative change that I know I have lived in for years in abstinence. And the moment I stop being honest, is when I go back out. So I am grateful for the program. I'm grateful for a group of people that you can be honest with that get it. This program, people get it. And so with that, thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Dina J. from California. All right, so before I take another lineup of names, I'm just going to remind you where we are. We're on page 72 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that second paragraph at the bottom, beginning with the eighth sentence. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep themselves through eight sentences, ending on the top of page 73, until they told someone else all their life story. Although we value you to limit your sharing to every third day, ensure that others might share their experiences too. So I need last initial and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
D in New York. Matrix J from Michigan.
D? Yes. D in New York.
D in New York, correct.
Amy K. Virginia.
D in New York. I got Matrix J
from Michigan.
D. Who was from Virginia?
Amy K.
Malka S. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. I got D from New York, Matrix J. Was there a Sherry?
Sherry Z.
Sherry Z. And then I got an Amy K from Virginia. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. D, Matrix J, Sherry Z, Amy K. Who else?
Malka S.
Malka. Is it S like Sam?
Yep. From Mexico.
Okay.
Jordan L.
Mexico. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Let's stop there. D from New York, Matrix J, Sherry Z, Amy K, Malka S, and Jordan L. Please give me the initial of your last name when you share and where you're calling from. Dee, you're up.
Hi there.
Go ahead, Dee.
Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting. Can I be heard?
Dee, we can't hear you. Okay.
Can
yes,
you hear
Dee,
me?
We can hear you now. What's the initial of your last name?
V, as in
yes,
Victor.
Yes, Dee, I can hear you.
Great. Last initial is V as
okay.
in Victor.
V from New York.
All right.
Gotcha.
So great to be here. Great to hear the reading and the sharing around the room. My name is D. I'm a compulsive overeater in New York. And I don't know. It's just good to hear the Big Book. It's good to hear recovery and honesty. I was thinking about, you know, this passage that you have to tell somebody everything. And what was coming to mind, because, you know, I'm fairly familiar with the Big Book, is elsewhere in this book, it says, be very careful who you share with, that when you choose someone, like, it's so funny, the Big Book is so kind of easy breezy, like, we're not going to tell you what God is, it's your own thing, or use the group, or, you know, come to your own conception, but where they do give you, like, almost a very strong red and orange light is when you're choosing someone to confide in, be very careful. And I've had both good and bad experiences that have taught me to be cautious. And you know, I'm not going to tell somebody everything until they're somewhat vetted with me, because I had somebody very abusive at one point, and it almost turned me away from fellowship. But luckily, I knew I had to stay because I'm a compulsive overeater. And then I was just very careful listening and watching people, and were they kind, and, you know, how did they communicate, and did they have good recovery, and this and that. So, you know, now I'm careful, like somebody said, a safe person. And that's like priority number one for me, because how can I be fully honest if I don't feel safe with the person? And then the other thing that helps me to be honest is hearing everyone be honest in the room. Like sometimes I'll hear something, I won't even know that I have that tendency until I hear another share about it. So anyway, it's just, it is a remarkable gift to humanity, this book and these steps and the whole process. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have found safe people in these rooms, you know. And for me, boundaries are tricky, and it's important for me to have good boundaries. So, you know, that's the only caveat I put on this whole process. But anyway, great to hear the big book, and I pass.
Thanks, Dee. Thanks, Dee. That was Dee from New York. Up next is Mirtris J. Mirtris, where are you calling from?
Mirtris J. from Michigan.
Thank you. Go ahead. Please share with us.
Thank you, and thanks for your service. Very glad to be here. You know, when I first came into this program in 1990, I was so willing to do whatever I could do to work this program. And I told any and anybody that was in program, not outside of program, because I trusted people in program when I came in here. And I was willing to tell anybody my secrets. I had to tell it. I had to tell it. I had to get rid of it, admit it, be honest about it, and tell it. Didn't matter who, long as they was in the program. And what I have come to find out is that my character defect, I believe this is a character defect or shortcoming, perfectionism, because I would always think I could work this program perfectly. And I have not worked it perfectly, but I have worked it to the best of my ability. And the thing about it is that it's really just a one day at a time. See, when I start getting into all this other stuff, you know, what I need to do, what I can't do. And see, another thing is the relationship with my higher power as well, who I choose to call God, that I need to help me to do what I can't do for myself. But being human, you know, I think for me, just speaking for myself, I set myself up for this big thing, you know, well, I'm abstinent, so I'm going to be abstinent the rest of my life. I want that. But then I'm into expectations and going into another dimension, because it's only one day at a time. All I have is right now. And that's enough for me, because sometimes I have to break my day down. Just one day is really, truly enough for me. And being in program as long as I have, I found out, too, that this disease progressed. I've had long, long periods of abstinence, But right now in my life, at 66 years old, I struggle here and there. I've been struggling the past 20 years because my disease has progressed. But you know what? I keep coming back. That's the key for me. Taking it one day at a time and keep coming back and holding on to my higher power, who I need to help me to work this program. Getting into anything else is just stressful.
That's fine, please.
Thank you. It's not living, you know. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Beatrice J. from Michigan. Up next is Sherry Z. Sherry, where are you calling from?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z. calling from Los Angeles. And as I was reading this, I heard they only thought that they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But, and I also read, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. So about 3.5 years ago, I did a fifth step with my vision sponsor, and I didn't leave a single thing out. I mean, my life was full of secrets, and I didn't leave. I bared it all. I was like, what do I have to lose? And I really believed I was done, like for the rest of my life. I'm 55, and I thought, God willing, I live to 120, and I never have to do another fifth step like this again. And even though people said to me, you have to work the steps again and again and again, I thought, you know what? That was the most draining, big experience of my life because I had done the steps before, but this time I had done them like I had never done them. But in the last 3 years, a lot has happened. I've gotten very ill, and I have a new resentment, a new fifth step that is all about my illness that I didn't realize that I would have to work the steps on entirely again. And I'm just coming to get honest about that because I just didn't want to be. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. It's good enough. And the truth is, life intervened. And I have a new, my employer tells me, who is God, this is new set of steps. And I am looking for a sponsor who has experience working with illness. But I just want to say that I'm so grateful that I have the willingness today to be honest about that. You can lay it all on the table and then life intervenes and there's more to lay on the table. And just coming to that realization and getting honest about it has been very eye-opening for me and weirdly grateful. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Sherry Z from Los Angeles. Thank you so much. Before I ask Amy K to share, I just want to remind everybody where we are. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 72, the second paragraph at the bottom, beginning with that eighth sentence. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep themselves through eight sentences, ending at the top of page 73 with, until they told someone else all their life story. And up next is Amy Kay from Virginia. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. This is Amy Kay, recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia Beach. In my family, it was considered bad manners to use the word lie. So we never said that someone was lying. We always said someone was telling stories. And I've been telling stories my whole life. Spinning narratives where I'm the star and everyone should pay attention to me and applaud me, or I'm the victim and you need to change in order for me to be okay, or I'm the savior. I'm the source of all that's good. I'm the problem solver that you need to have in your life. We're going to get to this. I want to enjoy a reputation I know I don't deserve. I think that I'm supposed to be, as an adult, responsible. I'm supposed to do my duty. I'm supposed to satisfy obligations. And those words can just be really good cover for self-will and self-centeredness. What's important to me in this sentence that everyone is remarking on is that the word thought is italicized. And I have a real problem believing that my thoughts are reality, that what I think is what's real, instead of this is just what I think. And I need a third-party appraiser. I need a disinterested, loving witness who will listen to me because I frequently occupy the blind spot of my ego. In fact, I think that ego is a reasonable basis for life, as if self-interest is a moral system, and that's how I should operate. And until I'm able to let go of my heavily defended ego and the roles that I have assigned myself, the attachment I have to my image, to my ego projection, I'm not ever going to get honest. I'm not ever going to be able to occupy this present moment. And really the only response, the only honest response to the mystery of God's love and power and how it can change my life is humility. Honesty and humility turn out to be pretty much the same thing. And although I am very fascinated with myself and I will tell anybody anything about me, it's always got that veneer of the story on it. I will embellish or I will minimize because I think it makes a story better. And in my mind, when I'm using my big brain and my rational mind as my higher power, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you make the story better? Except making the story better is lying. And every time I'm lying about who and what I am, I'm affirming to myself that who and what I am isn't okay. So losing my egoism and my fear is just not possible without this vital fifth step. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy Kay from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Thank you so much. Up next is Malka S. from Mexico, followed by Jordan L. from Colorado. Malka, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Malka S., recovered compulsive overeater in Mexico. And I want to just read this last part in first person because it helps me that I only thought I had lost my egoism and fear. I only thought I had humbled myself, but I had not lost. What's coming up for me here is that I have to do this so frequently if I want to stay abstinent. I've been working, you know, with the help of God and all of you on just being really honest. And it was so much easier when I didn't have to tell anyone anything, when I could just rely on myself. But that was really just a lie that I would tell myself because every single time it would lead me to the food and all the resentments and all the fears that I had, it would just lead me there every single time. Recently, I had a resentment that was not being lifted, and I was praying that it would, that, you know, that God could remove it and that he could direct my thinking and make it just go away. And after speaking about it with another recovered compulsive overeater who helped me see the areas that I was lying to myself and I just didn't realize. And this is like I've been in program for not that long, and it's rewiring my brain to be able to see instead of seeing like what everyone else is doing to me, seeing why, you know, why it's a trying to be a good wife, walking on eggshells, trying to protect people from their feelings, people pleasing, and these are all just ways of being dishonest. And I was having food thoughts, and I was feeling ashamed about it. I really, you know, I work this program because I really feel in my bones that it works. When I can be honest and let God remove my ego, one day at a time, I can truly be protected from anything going on around me and surrounding me, because that's on the outside. What's on the inside is what is. But you know, the honesty the things that I tell myself and the things that I tell God have to be honest in order for me to stay, you know, stay abstinent. And thank you so much for all everyone's service. And I'm so grateful for being here today. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Malka S. from Mexico. We appreciate you being here as well. Up next is Jordan L. from Colorado. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, Jordan, we can hear you.
Okay, awesome. It's kind of windy out. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. But in Los Angeles this morning for the OA birthday party, and just very grateful. very grateful to be here amongst friends. you know, a fist up, the line that was kind of standing out to me this morning is that holding back, you know. I think prior to OA, I held back because I really hadn't found that place where it was like safe enough to share the entire story, you know. So OA was a place where I could come and I could be entirely honest, and I was encouraged to. And I'm not sure that, I mean, God, it was such a foreign concept that I don't think I was even entirely honest on that first fist up. Not because I didn't want to be, but just because I think the longer that I've stayed abstinent and the longer that I've stayed in recovery, the more honest I'm capable of being. And so for me, the key has really been to stick with it. There's a place in the 10th step where it talks about, or the 11th step where it talks about if there's something that we need to share with someone, that comes to mind during that inventory, then we need to share it with someone. And that continues to be true, even years into abstinence and years into recovery. I keep practicing that honesty, you know? And the good news is that, the longer I stick around here, the more honest I'm able to show up, not only in those moments when I'm like taking inventory and talking with a sponsor, or with a sponsee these days too, right? But the more honest I'm able to show up in my day-to-day life, in like normal everyday life, with people who are not in recovery, and maybe don't understand it. So, that safe place has expanded, so that it's these days it's, I can bring God with me wherever I'm going, you know, it's not just during a fist step. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. Perfect timing. All right. So we are on page 72, beginning with the eighth sentence at the bottom. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep themselves through eight sentences until they told someone else all their life story. Looks like I can probably take two more people, maybe definitely one, possibly two. Who would like to share?
Bethany H. in Texas.
Is that Stephanie?
That's Bethany with a B.
Stephanie H. in Texas? Bethany.
Yes.
All right. All right. Is there anybody else that wants to do a two-minute share after Bethany?
Lindy, California.
All right. Lindy from California. All right. Bethany H. from Texas. You are up. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
I'm in Texas, and I am gratefully recovering one day at a time with a reprieve, thanks to God. And I'm, you know, one of the things that's standing out for me about this passage is this idea of, like, sharing it with a person. And it makes me think of page 164 about the fellowship that we crave. I'm just thinking, like, oh, cool. You know, like, for me, this passage is not, like, oh, no, like, I did good enough. It's like, anything that I think I can do, because it's ultimately about what God is doing for me and going into the fellowship to other people who remind me of that. perfect. It's about the fact that God is doing for us what we can never do alone. And so I'm, like, grateful for this passage and for the invitation of the fifth step to go more deeply into a fellowship and to go more deeply into that connectedness with a higher power of our understanding.
For this meeting and for every
service recording, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bethany H. from Texas. Thank you so much for your share. Up next is Lindy from California.
Thank you so much. I'm Lindy from San Diego, California. I remember doing my first fifth step, and I wrote it all down on paper, every little nook and cranny, every little shameful story. I really liked somebody line with stories. I can relate to that so very well. Every story, every shameful nook and cranny up until then, right? So when I shared it and then I continued to live life, of course I wasn't perfect, even though I wanted to be, but there was stuff. And so there's stuff that comes up every year. And so this is why I constantly have to do the steps for me over and over again, because there's life in between. You know, I get to share and be a part of the 12-step community. But it doesn't always go, you know, 100% perfect. So I constantly have to share more stories and share more secrets and be more humble and, you know, ask God, like, you know, what's going on with me today? What do I need to share? Like, for me, you know, doing 10 steps and really getting the kind of day-to-day yucky little stuff out is just so helpful for me. But that big fourth and fifth step for me is, you know, just clearing the air, and I, you know, about once a year. So anyways, thank you so much for everybody that's on the line today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lindy from San Diego, California. All right, Lynn was the last share for today. I want to thank everyone for their wonderful shares. We are now going to close the reading, close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And please stick around after the meeting stops. I will now ask Robin P. to read Our Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you so much. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.